to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. I am Bruce Allen, and today the topic is going to be partially about my column this week, but it'll be about more. We'll talk about what's going on in the world at large. I think my column this week, I actually wrote down the wrong one. I think my column this week is called, When I Was Your Age, It Was Much Easier. So you can imagine what that means, and we'll get to it as I continue. I hope you will follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. I hope you'll like the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page and become a member of the Dad Chat community on Google+. Oh my gosh, there are a lot of social media platforms these days. The new Because I Said So comic strip is called Dad Walks Steve. Dad Walks Steve, what does that mean? Tonight at Dad Chat, we're taking a look. It's a tough topic, especially if, like myself, you were a 24/7 single parent. It's a lot easier to date if your ex is sharing the custody duties, because then you just date when you don't have the kids around. But if you do have the kids around, when do you date? How do you date? What are the terms? When do you invite someone over? When can you have a sleepover? When do you tell the kids that somebody is important to you? Is it about time or about how you feel? It's not an easy subject. Dad Chat meets every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time, and that's 9 to 10 p.m. East Coast time. I hope you'll join us. My little logline, tagline, or cliche for Dad Chat is, Dad Chat is for anyone who is a parent or was a child. Sort of covers the gamut, don't you think? This week's new vlog is called Hippo Heaven, shot on the Chobe River in Botswana, Africa, one of 63 videos that I made on my trip to Africa and India and the United Arab Emirates. It was an astonishing country in which we went to in which we went to 13 countries, 21 cities in 38 days. Wasn't near as exhausting as that sounds, because a lot of downtime between things. As you may have heard last week, this will be the last month of my show. Today is my 222nd radio show. We began in May of 2010. We will run through the end of July, which happily means five shows this month. The last show will be July 31st, 2014. Still hoping for a sponsorship reprieve. The show has developed and grown, but it's a business, and the cost of running the show is just not something I can afford to do anymore. So I've enjoyed it. I've had a great time. Maybe I will continue in some podcast form. Not really sure. There's so much going on right now in my life, with a little bit of difficulty with my older son, possibly moving. It's a lot of stuff going on at once. And while I would love to continue this show, maybe it was its organic time to go away. I don't know. We will see. One never knows why certain things happen, and if you fight it, I think you're probably not going to win. You just got to let it go, so to speak. Wow. It was interesting to listen to my title song, Walk Like a Man, after having seen just the other night the Clint Eastwood movie, the adaptation of the musical Jersey Boys, which, of course, is about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I've always loved their music. And I don't know how much of that story is completely true, but I believe a lot of it is true. And the movie is performing extraordinarily poorly, yet it's extraordinarily good. It's one of those rare cases where the public is just not interested. And I think the reason is very simple. The Four Seasons were a popular group in their era. They are not one of those groups that's stayed enduringly popular like the Beatles. Or the Doors, even though I think the Four Seasons were far more successful than the Doors. But the movie is highly dramatic. The music is sensational. The lead actor is out of this world, wonderful. And in replicating Frankie Valli's extraordinary voice, he does a masterful job. And Clint Eastwood, at what is he, 80, 89, 82, I don't know how old he is, his ability to still direct as well as he does is really, really impressive. So support the movie. It deserves it. It's a good movie. There's a lot of garbage out there. So it's a good movie. The column, When I Was Your Age, It Was Much Easier, is a really amazing phenomena, which is, I think we are the first generation of parents. And I'm just including my generation, the generation around me, anybody who is, say, a parent at, and then presently is 35 years or older, we are the first generation of parents who do not, at least if we have our eyes open, do not believe our kids will have it as good as we did. And we're praying and hoping they even come close, depending on our individual life circumstances. I'll just speak for myself. I had a good life. I mean, I have a good life, had a good run professionally, having a good run professionally still. With the exception of a failed marriage, my first marriage, I would say I had a great life and I'm having a great life. I pray my boys just come close, at least to my fiscal success and, for that matter, my job satisfaction. I loved my career in showbiz. It was hard, but I had a great time, traveled all over the world, saw amazing things, got paid a whole lot of money for basically having fun. And then I love my current second career, doing all the different things I do in the form of writing, radio, social media and stuff. Although my second career is less about making money, more about making good work and having a good time and being mentally engaged. I was blessed with a successful first career so that money was a little bit secondary the second time around. So I had all these great opportunities. I got to do this radio show. I got to travel all over the world before I got married originally at 39 the first time. And showbiz paid well, and it was a crazy business, but not near as crazy as I think it is now. Our kids are facing so many more problems on every aspect of their lives, and that's what the column was about. It's unbelievable. Usually whenever we think of the words, when I was your age, we're talking about, well, when I was your age, I used to walk in the snow 10 miles to school. When I was your age, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's kind of to make it sound like we had it so much harder. Well, we did in some ways. I think a lot of the schoolwork was harder. A lot of maybe the jobs that we had as young kids were harder. But our opportunities were greater. I got into colleges with grades that wouldn't even get me arrested or even in the front door today. I had like a 3.4 or 3.2 grade average. I had moderate SATs, and I went to three different UC schools. I got into UCLA graduate school with, you know, fair B average, average GREs or whatever the exam was I had to take for my MBA program. I could not get into any of those schools with those grades now. I got my first, I had a bunch of summer jobs when I was a kid that basically aren't even available anymore. I was a paper boy. I rode a bicycle and threw papers from bags that were hung from my handlebars. Well, now paper routes, to the degree that newspapers even exist, are handled by adults in cars. All the startup jobs that I used to have, working at camps, park director, a lot of those jobs are fewer and far between. And many of them are taken up by adults. Now, in my day, every fast food employee was a kid. There weren't Starbucks, of course, when I was a kid, but the equivalent would be run by kids, the Foster Freezes, the early McDonald's. Well, now the kids are competing with adults for those jobs because the economy is so poor. Now, let's talk about all the different kind of manufacturing jobs that used to exist. Working for any of the car companies, steel, all these kind of things, it's like either gone, reduced, outsourced, or China and India are doing it. This whole idea of outsourcing never was such a thing. We didn't have call centers manned by people in other countries. For that matter, we actually had call centers, if they were even called call centers when I was young, where you'd call for some customer service and a person would actually answer the phone and, how may I help you, Mr. Salen? Mrs. Salen. You think customer service resembles that today? Don't even get me started on what I believe is the death of customer service. I think it does not exist almost anywhere. I must say, I wrote an email to a company today or last night. I bought a backup hard drive and it wasn't working with my computer. And I wrote an email to the help desk and I got three replies in back and forth correspondence. The company's called Seagate. They deserve some props. And they gave me the how to fix it. It actually worked. I haven't had that kind of experience in so long. I just realized as I'm expressing this how pleased I was. I was about to take the device back to Costco where I bought it And I wrote them, if I don't get an answer, you know, within 24 hours, I'm just taking this darn thing back. And I got an incredibly polite response. I didn't fully understand it, gave him some more information that he asked for, got a response again. Now, again, it was all by email. I would have preferred I just call up somebody, but at least this time it worked. So Seagate, way to go. I'm impressed. I will be a customer in the future. You have won some, at least short-term, loyalty. Anyway, it was easier in many, many ways. Buying a house, renting an apartment. The biggest thing I think about is the current statistic. What percentage of college graduates do you think come back home to live for any length of time today? 10%, 50%, 40%, 60%? Well, the truth is it's 85% of college graduates come back home to live with their parents or parent or whatever their home environment may be, since it's so mixed up today, for 6 months or more. When I graduated college, and I would assert any of you over 40, when you graduated college, you did not know a single person that came back home to live except for a short visit. I stayed very close with my parents through the rest of their lives. I had dinner with them almost every Friday night, but I didn't live with them really again after I was 16, almost 17 years old, which is how old I was when I went away to college. By the way, I got my BA in 3 years. Nowadays, the average time to get your BA is 4.7 years or 4 years, 7 months. And it's something like 3.5 years to get the AA. I just heard this on the radio the other day. I got my BA in 3 years. I got my MBA in a year and a half because I could double up on classes if I wanted. There wasn't a problem getting classes I needed. And I was a particularly industrious and impatient young man that I wanted to get out. I was working and completely supporting myself when I was 21. I had my MBA, I started in showbiz, and I bought my first house in Brentwood, California when I was 24. It's almost unbelievable to imagine a 24-year-old, except for the rarest case of a young man that becomes an athlete or a Justin Bieber-type star, hopefully doesn't turn out to be such a bozo as him. With those kind of exceptions, the average kid, who can imagine a 24-year-old being able to afford any kind of home in a metropolitan area like Los Angeles? It's like, whoa. So it was just easier for me. It was just easier for me, period. And that's just the way it is. I hung up on it, Aaron. I'm doing the show out of my house. And that was my home phone, and my son was running to get it, which is, again, this part is really pretty easy. I could do a radio show sitting at my desk in Calabasas, California, have my producer in Santa Barbara, California, run the show from his board and have it go up to some kind of satellite, listen to it on the internet, listen to it over your car radio or any other form of Pandora or whatever in which you get KZSB AM 1290, and then it's going to go on iTunes afterwards, and you can download it for free. I mean, that part's outrageous. It's amazing. But there's no money in it. And even those that want to be on this radio station, you're talking about 30 demos for every show that they might pick up, let alone the fact that there's no money to be made for the average radio show host. So it used to be, if you could get on the radio when I was out of college and you got a show that got popular, you'd get some kind of income from it. Well, the economics don't work in radio. I wrote a column for the Santa Barbara News Press. They cut all the columns. I wrote 279 columns. I know they liked it, and the publishers and I were friends, and they were loyal to me, but they had to make some cuts. And the paper's smaller now. You used to be able to write a column, and if you got your column popular, I mean, my column at one point was carried into 100 different newspapers and websites around the country. If I told you how much I made from all of that, it wouldn't be enough to just pay for your coffee per week. So it's different, and it's harder. Listen, we have Cheryl and Harley Laban on for some political talk, so let's take a break and come back and talk politics.
Like it when you're nagged, then why do you do it?
I'm Bruce Allen. Find me at bruceallen.com, and please be the best dad or mom you can be.
Bruce.